I'm here with some seniors here. Some high school seniors? A little bit? Yes, yes. Awesome. Well, welcome. You know, and I just want to ask you a question. Who has been a disciple for up to 2 years? Up to 2 years. Raise your hand. Up to 2 years. Wow. Wow. Okay. So that means days, months, up to 2 years. Yep. Yep. Up to. Up to. Awesome. What about 3 to 5 years? Okay, so it's about half to half. All right. And then I know some are baptized in the teen ministry. How about 5 to 7 years? Come on. All right. You guys are the mature ones in the group, right? Nobody over 10 years, right? 8 years. Awesome. Wow. Well, welcome, everyone. You know, in Bill's class, I know you've heard all about the commitment that God has made to you. So this class is entitled My Commitment, which is about our personal commitment to Him, to God. You know, the definition of commitment is a state or quality of being dedicated to a cause. And we know that cause is Jesus Christ. And because of this cause, our state of mind should be, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The question I have for you this morning is, how is your commitment to God? How is your commitment to Christ? Where would you honestly say your commitment level is today? I mean, maybe you feel like you're hanging by the threads a little bit. You don't know if you want to do this anymore. I hope that's not the case, but if it is, I want to encourage you to get open and get some help today. Well, maybe you're somewhere in the middle, neither hot nor cold, but coasting, but you want to grow and you're not sure where to begin. Or maybe you're just doing great. You're enjoying your life, you're trusting God with the challenges and looking forward to more opportunities to grow. Take a minute to write down where you think you are right now. Just take a minute. Am I hanging by the threads? Am I kind of coasting a little bit, not sure what to do? Oh, I feel like I'm really doing, okay, I'm doing great. I'm enjoying my life and trusting God, because I want to encourage you to share that with someone later. You know, so that you guys can pray for each other and help each other with how to grow from there. You know, it's important to stop and do a spiritual checkup. Yeah. That's important. Otherwise, we might find ourselves just going through the motions. And we don't want to do that. So it's important to ask yourself, how am I doing in my walk with God? Am I close to Him? How am I doing in my commitment to Him? And you also want to ask, well, why am I doing what I'm doing? You got to check your motives, because isn't it so easy to get thrown off with your motives sometimes? And you find yourself off in just why you're doing what you're doing. But you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." Yeah. The NLT version says, "Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe we have all died to our old life." See, it's not about us anymore. See, if you are not compelled by His love, you won't be compelled to love Him back. Wow. Let's say it again. If you are not compelled by His love, you won't be compelled to love Him back. See, your love and commitment to Him is a response to His love and commitment to you. Yeah. And sometimes we have to be reminded of just how much He loves us. Yeah. And I know Phil talked about it, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Because, you know, as girls, as women, guess what? We need to be reminded of the love of Christ. See, we can forget, right? Or we just have a hard time believing that He really loves me. He loves me. And of course, we can be flooded with our own insecurities, right? And sometimes even feel unworthy. But I'm here to tell you, God is love. And He loves you. As Phil just said, He is crazy about you. All right, well then, how do you know that He loves you? Number one, He was present in your life from the beginning. from the very beginning. As it says in Psalm 139, verse 16, it says, your eyes saw my unformed body. And in verse 13, it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. How else do we know that he loves us? He handcrafted you. And Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But do you believe that? We don't need plastic surgery because what? We are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You know, you are a work of art. You are a work of art. There's only one you. And even if you have a twin, there's something uniquely different about you. Amen. Right? But you are all a masterpiece. You are all a showpiece. You are not the art project that God puts on the side because, oops, I made a mistake. No, we are all displayed as a work of art, as a masterpiece. How else do we know that he loves us? He knows you. Psalm 139, verse 1 says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. He knows you better than your bestie. He knows you better than your parents. He knows you. He searched you, and he knows you. How else do we know? He has a plan to prosper you. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He says, I know the plans I have for you. And that involves giving you hope. Have you ever felt hopeless before? Yeah. And to give you a future. Now, I know that's hard with college students trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life. But isn't it good to know that God says, I got you. Yeah. I got you. Don't worry about it. I'm here to give you hope, no matter what you decide. And I'm here to give you a future. Amen. How else do we know? He guides you. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Guess what? He gives you clarity. He's going to help you figure it out. He's going to guide you and walk with you through it. He is approachable and available 24/7. You know, it's hard to get us sometimes. We have several different ways, right, that we contact each other. Some don't like the phone anymore. You don't even try to call some people at this day and age. Some are like, oh, I don't do the phones. Some are like, oh, just text me. Some are like, oh, just email me. We got to figure out the way to get you because we might call you, you may not pick up the phone, but then we text you and you text us back. Exactly. What in the world is that? Because exactly. You done figured out this is my style of communication. And if you want to get to me, you got to do this in order to get to me. Aren't you glad that God is not like that? Yeah. That he is approachable and that he is available 24/7. How do we know? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us approach God's throne with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How else do we know? He's proud of you. What did he say to Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17? And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Can you imagine God saying, this is my daughter whom I love. And with her, I am well pleased. See, he is with you and he's excited about you. See, we're talking about ways in which how we know that he loves us. And Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, in the ESV version, it says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. When's the last time somebody rejoiced over you in gladness? Right? Or how about when was the last time someone exulted over you with loud singing? Anybody ever dedicate a song to you? See, that some of you haven't even experienced it. Russ sang a song to me one time at a campus event that we had called When I'm With You. All right. And you know, Russ is not really a singer, but he can hold a tune. But when he was singing that song, I mean, I was just like, go ahead, sing. You know what I'm saying? But to think that that's Russ singing to me, How about God singing to you?
Yeah.
And singing loud when you walk through the door.
Whoa, come on.
Because you walked in the door. We got to know that we serve a God who loves us.
Amen.
And finally, how do we know? Because he died for you.
Yeah.
The NIV version of Romans chapter 5 verse 6 says, you see, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. The NLT version says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. The ESV says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, there was no other hope for us, sisters, friends. Jesus had to give up his life in order for us to live. Thank you. He had to give it up. And that is why you are here today. But the question is, are you responding to his love? Is his love compelling you? See, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. See, so I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen the New York and New Jersey campus women with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that the New York and New Jersey campus women, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.
Amen.
We got to personalize this. See, it takes a village to help us to understand the love of Christ. It is too much to comprehend. We don't get it. We don't understand how much he really loves us. But once you get how deep, how wide, how long, how high the love of Christ is for you personally, the natural response is for you to love him back.
Yeah.
That is the natural response. And see, when it's about love, sisters, it's not about duty. It's about desire. Let me say it again. When it's about love, it's not about duty. It's about desire. See, duty is about being committed for the sake of being committed. You're coming because you got to come. You're coming because somebody's going to ask you if you're going to come. That's committed for the sake of being committed. But when you are desiring him, it means you want to love him back. Let me ask you a question. If the man of your dreams shows up in your campus ministry, all right, let's talk for a minute. Now, he could have either been converted in that ministry or he could have transferred in from another ministry, right? Oh, and he is everything that you dreamed of. I mean, he's strong, strong disciple. You know, that's number one on our list, right? He is talented. He is good looking. You got to be able to look at him. He is the perfect height. He is the perfect weight. He is fun. He is smart. And whatever else you put on that list, he is all of that. And he comes in, everybody knows when we got one of those in the ministry. Come on now. We know. We take notice. Then all of a sudden, you got about 5, 6 sisters interested in him. Maybe more. Then all of a sudden, you give him time to grow. Give him time. Let him settle on in. Give him a little time, give him a little time. Walk on by, you see him and say, hey, brother. Then you go to the discipling partner. See, we know what to do. You go to the discipling partner, find out what is he like. All of a sudden, the brother getting brownies. All of a sudden, he getting cookies. With his favorite color wrapping, which is blue. With his favorite scripture. We have figured it out. And then you find out that out of all those 5 sisters, he chose you. Sorry, sisters. Nobody is gonna have to grab you by the hand and make you love him back, honey. Nobody's going to have to make you love him back because you're going to go all out. You can't sleep. He's on your mind. He's on your heart. You're trying to figure out, oh my gosh, he loves me. I can't believe it. See, being committed according to Luke chapter 10, verse 27 means loving him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul and strength. And that's just the mere man we were talking about. Imperfect. Because when you get to know him a little bit more, you're going to see that there's some flaws. The question is, are you going all out for God? In the same way. I know you can't see him, but listen, that brother can't do for you what God can do for you. Do you understand? Nobody can love you the way that God loves you. See, we got two groups of people here today. We got those that are not yet committed to God. And we have those who have made a commitment that they want to, that you want to follow God. I'm going to talk to both groups today. Is that all right?
Yes.
Let me start off with those that are not yet committed to God. First of all, I want to say this. I'm so glad that you are here. I'm so glad you're here. We are so glad you're here. You know, it shows interest. It shows interest. Now, you might be thinking, well, I'm here because my friend bugged me to come here. She kept asking me to come. And I know what I was coming to, but I'm here. Well, welcome. Or maybe your parent just signed you up and said you need to go. It doesn't matter how you got here, but the question I have for you, for those who have decided not yet to be committed to God, what is holding you back from this amazing Father who loves you so much? So much. Is it fear? If it is, what are you afraid of? Are you worried? Are you worried about what your friends are going to think? In school, your family? Is it the world and its pleasures? You want to have a little bit more fun before you turn yourself into God? What is it? For me, you know, I come from a religious background. As a little kid, I wanted to go to church. Had a lot going on in my family. You know, my brother was killed when he was 24 years old in a car accident. I was raised by my mom, single mom, great woman. I was the youngest of six. And I just saw my need to go to church. So at 9 years old, I said, Mom, can I go to church? I tried to read the whole Bible. I couldn't. I went down the street to this little Baptist church. And I went there ever since until Russ, who was my boyfriend, we were dating since 15. We've known each other since we were six. He was converted on the NGIT campus as a junior, reached out to his girlfriend. And I was like, wow. So I came. I went out to church for the first time. And I'm going to tell you, it blew me away. Blew me away. I didn't know God. I hadn't gotten baptized, but I realized I'd gotten wet. And when I came to church, I waited about 2 weeks. And every single day, I'm telling you, there was not a day that went by where I did not think about that church service and think about that lesson, think about what I saw in the fellowship, because I didn't have that. I was sentimental, had a lot of responsibility in the Baptist church. I was the secretary of the church. I sang a lot of the songs there. I'd come to know so many families there, and I just felt like I don't know how to tell them that this is not where I need to be anymore. But I needed to think about the truth and the fact that it set me free. And I just needed to surrender, which is what I did. And I called up a sister on campus. I didn't even know her that well. See, God was just working on my heart. And I said this, will you study the Bible with me? I just asked her. So she hooked me up with a few sisters. I heard the story of the cross, and 2 weeks later, I became a disciple.
Wow.
And I thank God, 26 years later, I'm a faithful disciple today.
Amen.
I'm very grateful to God. See, the question is, what is holding you back? You gotta address it. Do you have questions? Maybe questions are good. Do you have them? What are they? Put them on the table. Write them all down and ask someone to sit down with you and help you answer them with the Bible. You know, last year, Russ's cousin, Asmar, studied the Bible. And, you know, he had so many questions. He was going through a lot in his life. And he showed up to one of his Bible studies with Russ and Cedric, you know, Brown, who works with the Edge Ministry in Jersey. And he had 35 questions. And they sat down with him and answered all of his questions. He became a disciple. He's now your brother in Christ, and he is a single dad, and he's now raising his daughter as a little kingdom kid.
Wow.
He got his questions answered. Do you have questions? If you have questions, get them answered. Or maybe you're a kingdom kid and you feel the pressure. Listen, I know, I have kingdom kids. And I know the pressure that you feel. People are asking you, when are you gonna study the Bible? Or when someone studies the Bible, becomes a Christian, and they go, when are you gonna study the Bible? Or they go, well, you're next. And I know that that probably bothers you because listen, I know if that's not where you're at, that's not where you're at, and that's okay. But I want to encourage you not to get offended by that, because they care about you. They're praying for you. They really do. But here's what you can tell them. Thank you so much for asking, but keep praying for me. That's it. And then you keep praying for you, because don't let that stop you. Don't let it stop you. It's not about them. It's about the love of Christ that we're talking about. He is why you do what you do. See, whatever is stopping you, deal with it. I want to encourage you. Why? Because this issue is holding up your salvation. You don't want this issue to hold up your salvation. Why is that important? Because in James chapter 4, verse 14, it says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You have no time to be sitting on these issues. Your salvation is at stake. So you need to address them and you need to surrender them. Amen?
Amen.
And then let God be in control of you. He loves you and is waiting for you. Don't let issues stop you from having an amazing relationship with God. Let me talk to the ones who made a commitment to God. In Ecclesiastes 5:4, it says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. That's the Bible talking. Fulfill your vow. Isaiah 54, verse 5 says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all earth. Listen, if you are a disciple, you are married. You are taken. The Lord Almighty is your husband. You made a vow. You stood before God at the waters of baptism, whatever water you chose, whether it was somebody's bathtub, a river, or in the church, wherever you were, and you said, Jesus is Lord. And when you make a vow, the Bible says don't delay in fulfilling it. So you promised that you would surrender your life to him. Listen, marriage is a lifetime commitment. I've been married for 22 years. It's lifetime. When I stood at that altar and I said, till death do us part, I meant it.
Yes.
Do you mean it?
Yes.
Till death do you part. Here's a question. Are you compromising in your marriage to God? Are you cheating? See, John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commands. NLT, obey my commands if you love me. Love is action. Can people tell by looking at your life that you are in love with God? They should be able to look at you and see it. I'm not talking about a hype. The Bible says, you know, it would be obvious to both God and man. Can people tell by looking at you that you are in love with God? See, Colossians 3 says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. But have we forgotten? See, it's not about me. It's not about you, right? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, then Jesus says to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. Any selfish ways you need to turn from? We're always battling our sinful natures, right?
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 2, verse 5 says, consider, think about this. How far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. What do you need to repent of? Let's think about it. Maybe it's weak, quiet times in prayer. Maybe, you know, it's you stop sharing your faith because your faith has been hit and assaulted. And so you feel like, I don't have to have much faith to share. Maybe you stopped showing up at the meetings of the body. Maybe you got about two jobs and you got that class that pulled you away from midweek service and it's affecting you. You know, maybe that's it. And I know how rough it is out there today. I know. I'm glad they got a book sale going on, $10. I may have to go out there and say, I'm married, but can I get that sale? You know, I know how tough it is, ladies, but we can't compromise in our relationships with God.
Right.
Maybe it's some emotional things that you are going through.
Yeah.
Maybe you're having a hard time right now emotionally and battling some things.
Right.
But you know, in James chapter 1, verse 2, this is what it says about tough things, guys. Come on. Consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. See, it says when you face trials. Problem is that we don't want to suffer. We don't want to face trials. What trials? We're not supposed to have trials. We are Christians. When I said Jesus is Lord, he's supposed to make it all right. I'm not supposed to be struggling with this. You're not supposed to be giving me this. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, right, whenever you face trials of how many kinds?
Many.
You're going to have trials because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. But you got to let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. God is trying to get you to grow. Are you having some trials? Anybody having some trials out there? Anybody going through some stuff? Oh, I know I am. We're always going through some stuff. But God is maturing and developing you. You know, I've had some defining moments in my life as a young Christian that deepen my convictions to this day. You know, I remember when I wasn't very long a Christian, and I was in a really bad car accident. I totaled my car, but it was a miracle because I didn't get it wasn't a scratch on me. But if you would have rode by and saw the condition of my car, you know when you're high, when you're like, you know, because it looks so bad. Well, I was one of those that walked away. It was a miracle. And I noticed that those folks who had studied the Bible with me, who loved me, weren't there for me. It was only me and another young Christian who had become a Christian a week apart from me. She came to the hospital. I was released the same day. And I went home, and I was just home for a week trying to recover. I didn't get any visits. I barely got phone calls. I was laying on my bed thinking, where are all those people who crowded around me week after week in those Bible studies, sat around me with tea and coffee and cookies and told me how much God loved me and how much they loved me? Where are they at?
Come on, Terry. Come on.
What happened? But I didn't let my mind stay there. Oh, I asked the question to myself. Because I had to decide, you know what? It's not about people. Jesus is Lord. We're all people. We all make mistakes. Of course they loved me. But I don't know what happened in that time frame. But it's not about people. Listen, I'm happy to be alive.
That's right.
I'm grateful. But it was a defining moment for me. And you know what's interesting? It's me and that young disciple who are still faithful today.
Wow.
So if we made it about everybody else, guess what? We wouldn't even be here today. And I'm going to tell you this, in the past 26 years of following God, of being a disciple of Jesus, I've seen some people come and I've seen some people go. And there were even heroes in the faith. And it hurts so much when you see that, when you feel that. You've probably experienced that. Some of your friends that you've walked away, or some that are saying, I'm going to walk away. But you know what? You've got to keep going. Because Christ's love compels us. See, that was a defining moment for me. It's not about people. I also learned it's not about relationships and a man. You know, Russ, my husband of 22 years, he proposed to me while at the end of the senior year in campus ministry. We were engaged to be married, but he broke up with me. He broke up the engagement. Ooh. I had put the deposit on the hall. I went dress shopping. But you know what? Yes, wedding dress shopping. I didn't send out the invitations. Amen. Praise God. But what we realized is that we wanted different things. He wanted the ministry, and I don't wanted to be a superstar. I wanted to sing, you know.
That's right.
But you know, and amen, I get to sing in God's kingdom. And yes, I was hurt, but Jesus was Lord.
Yeah.
His love compelled me to fast. I remember fasting. I remember studying the book of Deuteronomy, and the theme in my life at that time frame was no other God. It wasn't about rest. It was about God. I said, Jesus is Lord. Now, I didn't date after that, but he went on several dates after that. And I had to surrender. I know it's rough out there, sisters. I keep praying for you about this dating because I went through it for a brief moment and it was hard. But I had to surrender the fact that he could marry somebody else. I may have to watch him walk down the aisle with somebody else. Well, amen. Hey, Jesus is Lord. We still led the campus ministry together. It was awkward. But Christ's love compelled me. I had my moments, I'm not going to lie. I had them. But I wasn't going to sit around and feel sorry for myself. The sisters rallied around me. We watched movies. I don't even remember what we watched. We had spa nights, and we remained on a mission for Christ. It did not affect my commitment to Jesus. It inspired me to keep on going because it's not about him. And about a year later, when I had some time to work on me and he had some time to work on him, he asked me out on a date again. And it was new and it was fresh and it was exciting. I was like, oh my gosh, I was just like how I was describing back then with you guys, right, what you do. And we started dating again. He re-proposed a year later. And we're married 22 years today. Wow. It's about God. Yes. More recently, 2 years ago, I lost my father. He died to melanoma cancer. And I tell you, that was a tough, tough loss. It still is very tough. I miss him every day. He was so cool. There's so much about him that I just miss. Death is so final, you know. And I know that as disciples, you're like, okay, we're going to heaven, and I truly believe in that. But it's just so hard, you know, that aspect of just not being able to talk to him and see him. And you know, Blair had her sweet 16 party. She had lit some candles, and Russ's father was able to go up and light his candle. But I just felt like, oh, my dad's not here to light his candle, you know? It's very tough. It's a tough loss. I miss him every single day. But you know what? God is working on me. He's with me. He's in my midst. Perseverance must finish its work. See, God is not done with me yet, and I'm not going to give up. See, we can't give up. See, when trials happen, Satan is crouching at your door waiting to take you out. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your relationship with God. And then the world all of a sudden starts looking good again. You know, Satan masquerades himself as an angel of the light. Mm-hmm. It's not so bad.
Right.
Hey, it's not so bad. It's okay. It just says you shouldn't get drunk, but then say you can't drink. And that's true. But then one becomes two and two becomes three, right? When you had those deep convictions about purity in the past, you think, I don't really struggle with that anyway. Mm-hmm. And so we start to compromise in small ways. And Satan gets in there and he just pulls on that thread until he takes you out. You know, Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Guys, we can't fight against Satan on our own. Yeah. There's no way you can do it. But I tell you what, God says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. See, God is looking for the fully committed. He is looking and he's watching. Where is she? I'm going to strengthen you. He promises to strengthen you. You got to hang in there. No matter if you are a freshman, a sophomore, right? If you're a junior, if you're a senior. Right now, you are where you need to be. Don't give up. God is working on you. If Christ's love is compelling you, you will bring glory to God. And great things will happen in your walk with God, and great things will happen on your campus ministry. No one will have to tell you, read your Bible. Mm-hmm. Nobody should have to tell you to read your Bible, right? No one is going to have to tell you to get discipled and get some help with your life. Mm-hmm. No one should have to tell you, come to Bible talk and bring some friends with you. No one should have to chase you down to tell you to come to church or to come to a retreat. There's some people not here right now because it's like, No one should have to tell you that. See? Because all of these things or just your natural response to your love for God. That's why you're there. That's why you're here. See, and this is a love that lasts a lifetime. Romans chapter 8, verse 30, 39 says, I am convinced neither death, nor life, nor angels, demons, nor the present, nor the future, and any other powers, height, depth, anything, and all creation will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We got to have that conviction. See, this is a lifetime commitment. This is a lifetime commitment, ladies. See, you are building for your future convictions. See, the goal is when you leave the campus ministry, you want to go in this edge ministry, right? Faithful. Right. You want to make sure that transition goes well. And sometimes that transition doesn't go well because there's something in our minds where we think, okay, well, I'm free. I don't have to do that 3 or 4 times a week no more. I'm grown and I have a job. I got things to do. No, you got to recount the cost and say, okay, now what does Jesus being Lord mean for me as a single woman? Yeah. You don't want to have nobody chasing you down. Where is she at? Yeah. No, you show up and say, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. That's how you want to transition into the singles ministry. All right, lady. Listen. You want to be a faithful single. Some of you plan on not going into singles. How are you going to do that? That's like saying I'm not going through puberty. I don't understand. Let me just break it to you. The percentage is this small of people get married in the campus ministry and don't have to go to the singles. But that doesn't mean that, you know, God doesn't have great plans for you. You got to count the cost. And then guess what? Then you want to go, when he does bless you, faithful into the marriage ministry. Yeah. Right? Then, when he blesses you with children, right, because listen, if you're not going to be faithful to God, you won't be faithful to your husband. You got to learn it now. Does that make sense? Then when you get the kids, what you going to teach them? What you going to teach the kids? When you become an empty nester, what you going to do? I'm going on vacation. I'm bye. I don't see none of y'all no more. No. You can vacation a little bit, but come on back and work the battlefield. I have to tell you, it's a lifetime commitment. You don't know. You're building convictions for your future. Okay, we're landing this plane. Okay, here's the thing. Russ in college had an RA, and she struggled with him a lot. Because, first of all, Russ, on his floor, resident assistant, you all know what that is. Well, he was praying way too loud on his floor when he was a disciple. He was fired up. My man was fired up. And she was annoyed by him. She wanted to move him off her floor. Well, then not only that, then she caught wind that Russ's, you know, the brothers, right? She said, your people are going around saying that other people are not Christians. So she confronted him on this. You got to talk to your people. They say other people are not Christians. And my husband, with the wisdom that he has, says, you know, I want you to meet my girlfriend. He didn't even go there. I was his girlfriend at the time. And it's not why, it's because she said because of me. I'm just saying. He's thinking about how we can reach out to this girl. So I did reach out. I invited her to Bible talk. She came to Bible talk late. Okay, but she came. And she sat down and we had a really good talk and we studied the Bible. She became a Christian in just 2 weeks. She cried at the word study. I've never seen anything before like in my life. I said, this girl gonna become a Christian. You crying at the word study. You wait till we get to the cross study. And we've been best friends ever since. Her name is Sherry Murray. She works for the New Jersey region. She's our administrative assistant. And not only that, our girls are best friends. We both have 2 children. And our girls, Blair and Kiana, are best friends, just like us. It don't always happen that way. Sometimes your friends and the kids don't like each other. Our kids love each other. We've gone on vacation. We just have had such a great relationship. But you know, the Bible says the promise is for you and your children. So guess what? This past year, both of our girls, besties, to God be the glory, were baptized into Jesus Christ. See, you know what you're doing right now, to God be the glory, but what you're doing right now is far beyond the campus ministry.
Yeah.
It's not about just what's the here and the now. It's about what's going to come, the years to come. See, now our commitment, our convictions, our faith has impacted our children. What about you? What will your legacy be? What will you leave behind? We were a couple of college students, didn't know what we were doing. And look at what God has done in our lives. In conclusion, let's remember, as we strengthen our commitment to Christ, let's remember how much you are loved. You are dearly, dearly loved. Let's know it. Let's claim it. I am loved. Let's tell each other, you are loved. Let's be compelled by that love. Let's be moved by that love. Let's be motivated by that love. And let's resolve to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. I want to encourage you to take your spiritual inventory. Talk to someone today about what you wrote down on your paper, where you feel like you are at in your personal commitment to Christ, and where you want to be. If you are not yet committed to following God, it's okay. I pray that you address the things that are holding you back so that you can enjoy this relationship with God that's waiting for you. That you can enjoy it. He's right there. He's patiently waiting. If you are committed to Christ and you decided that Jesus is Lord, remember, you made a vow. There's no divorce with God. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Can you say the same? There's no divorce, right? Remember, Jesus is Lord. Don't give up. Repent and do the things you did at first. God is working on you. He is maturing you, and He's developing deep convictions in you that will last a lifetime. And to God be the glory. Thank you so much, ladies, for allowing me to share. I love you guys. Amen. Amen.
I'm a little shorter. Wow, that was incredible. Thank you so much, Sari. That was seriously so timely. Let's give her another round of applause. That was amazing. Thank you. Wow, yeah, so that was amazing. That was so good. So we just have a few announcements right now, and then we'll go on our merry way. But so one is, if you haven't checked in yet with the retreat itself, like outside of the table, please do so after.